As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody. For whoever wants to listen, I am your co-host, Steele Russell, joined as always by the one and only Lisa Vandergoots. What's up,
dude? That's a good one. I like that one.
I'm going to keep trying to keep it villa-centric.
Yep, villa-centric. Steele and I were just trying to go through what we even call villa people. I believe we landed on Villanovi.
Villanovi, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's how we're going to refer to people, and we're probably never going to use it again, actually.
No, we'll forget about it.
Yeah, we'll definitely forget about that. We're here for round two of Villa. Thankfully, they dropped three episodes. So here we are for episode number two, about 30 seconds after we just finished episode number one. Yep. So we are in our prime, if you will.
Yeah, this is going to be a very fluid episode. Episode three might get a little weird.
Yep,
because we've been doing this now. By that point, we'll be doing it for a while, and you never know. But hopefully you enjoyed episode one. We are enjoying this show. I am loving it. Shooter is warming up to it. That's all we can ask for.
I didn't say I was warming up.
Where are you, then?
Not sure.
Okay.
Need more information.
That seems like you're warming up to it, the idea of liking it, at least.
I don't know.
Okay, fun. That's a fun topic. What? Well, if you listened to last episode, we had tsunami talk and earthquake talk. I don't have much else to say for this one. I want to get right to the episode. I will say I'm going to Italy on Sunday. I'm super excited about that. Dev and I finally have our honeymoon.
Yeah, everybody listening, make sure you DM the account with your suggestions for Italy.
Actually, yeah, if you have them.
Oh, I just want to do it, annoy you.
That's not annoying.
All right, so then, yeah, I guess actually do it.
Yeah. That backfired, dick. But no, super excited to get to Italy, but we wanted to make sure we had content for you guys for the week that I'm gone, so we're knocking these out today. We'll also have a summer house for you next week, so the usual four episodes, not the usual stuff we're covering. We will make sure that we get all of our stuff back on track the following week. Don't worry.
Everybody pray for me, too, because I don't know what I'm going to do with myself next week.
Yeah, but this is our first week off since we started the podcast.
I know. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Enjoy
yourself.
I might
go see Dune 2 again.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I want to see it again, too. That movie's so good.
Especially now, because there's not going to be as many people there.
Now you could get, like, you should go see it in the big IMAX at
they still have it. I definitely will. Yeah. So yeah, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll go out to dinner a couple times, you know, just
live it up, man.
Just live it up. Yeah.
Live it up. And you can live it up at our live show on May 3rd in DC. We have Candace Dillard coming out. We have Chris Bassett coming out, and we have Ryan Bailey coming out. It is at the Union Stage in DC, May 3rd. It's a Friday night. Tell all your friends, get your tickets. They are selling fast now that we announced our guest. We're super excited about that because we want to fill that place out. It's a really cool venue. It's a big venue, so we want to make sure that we show up. So get your tickets, come out and support the bros. It's going to be a fun night. But other than that, let's dive right into episode two because we got episode three to knock out after this. And the episode picks up right where it left off, and this is where Marciano and Telly are getting into a fight at the bar inside while the guests are eating outside. And again, Marciano now plays like he puts his hands up and like backs away from Telly after she pushes him. And he's playing like he's the victim in this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you started all of this nonsense and now you're going to back off because she got physical, but you pushed her to that point.
Yeah. Not to mention, these are also the two people who have been boozing all day.
Yeah, that's another good point.
So the rest of, and like, I know some people look like Hannah, which I didn't see originally. Hannah was also guzzling a little bit behind the bar, but that doesn't really come into play right now. The two people that started drinking at 10 a.m. are now getting mad at each other.
Yeah, shocker.
Shocker.
Yeah, that's two things. Look, if you don't know how to drink all day, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
But Hannah blindly defends Marciano, and she's walking out. She's like, I have his back, always. It's like, He cheated on you.
It's funny because in the first episode, I felt a little bad for Hannah because it seemed like she was just emotionally and mentally manipulated by this guy and she didn't know what to do. And she's like sitting with him while he's blacked out drunk, laying in bed at like an hour into the first night. He says, I love you. And like, you can tell it's just like, it's wearing on her. But she starts in this episode to show who she is I'm like, nah, okay. No, you guys are basically the same person. So oh, okay.
I never had that.
I didn't know her enough. So yeah. I just felt bad immediately because I know dudes like that. And I know girls that are stuck in relationships like that. And it just felt weird and I didn't like it.
Fair.
And then she started to show who she was. And I'm like, you know what?
You guys are perfect.
You guys
for
are
each
okay.
Other.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're perfect for each other. But this is where Eric jumps in and says, don't touch people, and yells at Telly and doesn't have a word to say to Marciano. And it was bizarre because she highlights it. She goes, there's a grown man yelling in my face.
What is she supposed to do?
And there's no intervention. You didn't step in at all. This is on you, manager Eric. This seems to be like the number one priority is keep your staff safe and comfortable. And you, your first chance to show that you can do your job, you fucking drop the ball.
Uh-huh.
No, actually, your second chance you dropped the ball, because your first chance dropping the ball was taking shots with the guests on the first fucking night.
Uh-huh.
It's, Eric, man, just wait, everybody, just fucking wait. But Marciano goes outside and is like venting to the table. He's like, man, I need this. And like takes a shot from the table. And like, again, the guests are egging it on. But at the same time, you're the best server in Vegas, dude.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? This is not part of the, and I'm going to highlight it so many times throughout the show, I'm sure. Everybody's fallback when they do something dumb is, Lisa told us to make sure the guests had a good time. There is a way to provide a good experience without getting hammered. It's actually probably much easier to provide that experience when you're not drunk, because then you're not going to fight each other.
Most likely, yeah. And I think that's the way to look at it if you're running a company or running a business, if you will. But you're running a TV show, so I don't really give a shit.
No, yeah, me either. I'm just, hey, y'all.
But I do love that you are right. Every single time that they get called out, or every time that they go to confessionals where there's other people that are mad at me because I'm drinking and doing shots or dancing with the people that are here, all the guests, their fallback is immediately, I was supposed to make sure they had a good time. They wanted me to dance with them. What are you talking about?
Well, I was doing my job.
They wanted me to take my shirt off and jump in the pool with them. I don't know what you want.
But shout out to my chefs, because they're pissed. They're like, we spent all this time on this food and you idiots are going out there serving it angry. Like, fucking do your jobs. Yep. Everyone be professional. And that's what they're going to be, that cornerstone, I believe, of like, all right, yes, it's a TV show. Yes, we're here to watch drama. But to your point in episode one, there needs to be some realness to this show. It can't just be all wacky interactions with this entire cast. Yep. There needs to be some semblance of, all right, this is a functioning business. And I think that that's why they're there, honestly, is like to root them down.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric calls LVP and lets her know about the altercation between Telly and Mark. And she's like, we're having a team meeting tomorrow because the whole team sucked. Everybody sucked. And they're sitting down in this meeting the next day. And she's like, how'd it go? Marciano, I thought it went really well. Guests seemed to have a great time. This was not a produced moment. She's like, what?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you think this went well?
Fuck, are you delusional?
This was top to bottom.
Not only that,
shit show.
But then Hannah backs him up.
Well, of course she does.
Yeah. And that course. Was my first inkling. Obviously, again, we didn't really see a whole lot from Hannah in the first night, but we knew what her role was with Marciano. And then we see her stand up for him in the team meeting. No, it wasn't a good night. Don't stand up for him. Let him take it.
Yeah, you don't have to jump in here because you're under the gun too. She's about to get to you. Idiot, like, don't jump in to defend this guy. Yeah. Like, these two are going to be a tornado.
Yeah, they really are. And that's when I liked Andre too, because Andre stepped in and Andre's like, what are you fucking doing, Marciano? Yeah. What are you doing?
Thank God for move. Andre. Voice of reason. But I love the line. This is the Chateau. She definitely wrote this one down. This is the Chateau, what is it? Bella Rosa?
Chateau Bella Rosa, yeah.
Not the Chateau shit show, yeah. Which is going to be the name of this episode, by the way. But Mark keeps making excuses. They kept asking us to drink with them. This goes back to the old adage. If they asked you to jump off a bridge, would you do that too? Like, he's claiming it didn't affect the service, which is bullshit. Go back and watch it, dum-dum. Like, everything went to shit. That is your fault. You were the primary instigator of this whole evening. You.
Yeah, like, it's one thing to say the bartenders weren't there behind the bar when we needed them. That's valid.
Yeah.
Because there should always be somebody back, especially when they're sitting at dinner. Like, yeah, you're going to go through a couple different times for rounds of drinks. That's the main time that you should be there.
Absolutely.
That and maybe the happy hour beforehand, and then obviously after. Somebody should be there. You can point that out all you want, but what you did afterwards makes you the asshole.
Right.
It no longer makes Telly or Andre the bad person because they weren't at their station where they should have been there. It makes you the asshole because you came in so hot and instigated a fight with the bartender who has already had enough of your shit.
Yeah.
It's day one.
Yeah. Go in there and just say, hey guys, can you be in here? So make sure, like, just Be a professional. You're the best server in Vegas.
You can get mad and like give them shit after the party.
Yeah. Maybe. Just fine.
Makes for better TV when you do it in the moment, for sure.
You're right. But I'm glad that LVP stands up for Telly because I thought the way that Eric handled it was just ridiculous. Yeah. So I'm glad that she makes a point to be like, there will be none of this. Like, there will be no men talking to women like that here. We're not going to put up with it. It's bullshit. And that's where we get to meet Emily. And Emily shares her experience with...
Fuck, did Emily come from?
Emily is one
I actually wrote that down in my notes. I said, Emily, where you been, girl?
She's the housekeeper, right?
Yes.
She's the housekeeper, but she has a background in the service industry. And she shares a very emotional story about her experience with domestic violence. So she really appreciates that LVP stood up and made a point to talk about that because she talks about rebuilding her life after the fact, both physically and mentally, because I guess her nose was broken in the process, which is horrible, but it was cool for her to share that story. As we always like to point out, these real moments make this that you need the real moments, and it will resonate with people out there that have gone through similar situations. So big props to Emily for talking about that. And to sum it all up, LVP does say, look, the guests had a good time. Everything's not gone to shit entirely. Let's regroup. Let's get it together. Telly, you and I need to go have a conversation.
Yep.
So her and Telly go outside to discuss what happened. And the first thing they get out of the way is, look, you lied to my face. I gave you a test. You lied to my face. Telly does say, you know, I was in a weird spot. Was I supposed to rat everybody out? Was I supposed to rat myself out? Like, I didn't really know what to do. And I also had no support. The other people that were drinking with me bounced.
I think that's the right answer. And I feel like Lisa respected that extent too. Whereas what we saw in the first episode was Lisa testing them to see if they were going to tell the truth. It really comes down to, it was Marciano's idea. Yes, you did. You were implicit and everything. But he bounced.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to throw everybody under the bus and be like, yeah, everybody's drinking, me included, but we won't make it happen again. But now, at least, you know, Lisa's watching.
Yep.
So everything that happens behind the bar, there's cameras around there.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll know the next day when you fuck up and do something. And you know what you can do? You can go to the back, because there is another bar, and it's for the staff. Go over there, steal something over there, and go hide somewhere in a corner and just rip some shots.
Yeah, all you have to do is find a water bottle. You fill it up with vodka. Okay, you put it in. What?
Yeah, this is hit too close to home.
Just getting too real. I'm just telling you to hide it. Oh, God. But we get to learn more about Telly, because she's a big part of her not copying to everything was, you know, I don't have a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I, for whatever reason, people don't like me, is what she says. So in this moment, it was also a way for her, like, if I rat everybody out, now I'm not going to have any friends here. And
I think the problem with that is most people in real life, that would ingratiate you into their friendship. Like, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, ride or die. Hell yeah.
Here? No.
No.
You think Marciano's going to thank you for not ratting him out? No. He has no self-awareness. No one else is going to. Hannah was the other one who was boozing behind the bar. She just goes with Marciano. So you're not going to get any friends out of doing this. Mm-mm. And I think she realizes that now. And of course, look, you don't know these people, but you can tell right away what kind of person they are. Marciano is not going to be your friend. He just wants to do this for himself, and he's going to push forward with that.
Yep. And she breaks down and cries and says, I'm just misunderstood. And it's a good insight into who Telly is. So hopefully we get to see this kind of arc of her getting more comfortable with herself, making some friends here. I hope there are people in this group that she should be friends with.
Yep.
And there's people that she should steer clear from.
Yes.
And I'm curious which way she's going to go. And time will tell. But we move on from there and we get to talk more to Emily, who, housekeeper. And we meet Priscilla. And Priscilla, a.k.a. Hurricane Pri.
Hurricane Pri, I love that.
You too.
Huge fan. I actually wrote that one down, too. I love that.
She's like, look, I'm either super happy, I'm super sad, I'm super mad. Like, I'm a fucking hurricane. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yep.
At least it's all out there.
Thank you for telling us.
We know what to expect now. So when shit pops off, you gave us a heads up. But she's been a server for like 11 years. Once again, it's somebody in the situation where she's like, look, I kind of live my life as an adventure. This is a new adventure that popped up. I get to go hang out in South France. Like, this is great. So I'm sure that she's going to play some major roles in the show. Excited to see what she brings. But we get a conversation between Marciano and Telly. And Marciano does apologize for putting her in that spot. He takes accountability for escalating it to that point. I don't think it was genuine at all. I think he's trying to save face.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, it seemed very disingenuous. He seemed to say like all the right things just to get himself out of hot water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he actually believes that. I still think that he thinks he's right, because in every other scenario that we see with this guy, his way is the correct way, even if it's the most ridiculous situation. And again, I'm referring to this fucking croissant that we'll get to in episode
yeah,
three.
Yeah.
Because that highlights exactly who this guy is.
It's kind of funny, but yeah, go.
It is, but at the same time, like, it's just, we'll get there. But we get a quick scene where they're at brunch and they're playing a little block game where it's like, oh, you spin the block and you got to do something wacky. And it rolled and it was like, give the person to your left a kiss. And the person on the left was Hannah. So she gave the dude a smooch on the cheek. Extraordinarily innocuous. Does yes. not mean a goddamn thing, right? That will come into play shortly. But they get back from there, and what would you think a DA was in Dallas? If you had a DA.
District attorney.
Okay, what else could it be? Dentist appointment is what it was, quote unquote. What?
Daytime adventure.
A dick appointment, dude.
Oh, I don't know. You I don't have gather any that? Appointments.
That's why.
Where the fuck would I know that?
Well, that's why Andre made that face. He's like, oh, because he thought it was a dick appointment.
Yeah, well,
I thought it was funny.
What do you know about dick appointments?
Hey, you want to know what I know about dick appointments?
Yeah.
I get a physical like every year. That's the only dick
should
appointments
be a dick
have.
Docker. Oh, dick docker.
A dick docker.
There are dick dockers. no, there should be a dick doctor. One specifically for guys' dicks.
A urologist?
I don't think that's what that is.
Pretty sure that's what that is.
No.
I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
I don't think so.
If there's any urologist, that's who deals with private parts.
Private parts.
It's not exclusively for dudes.
Well, but there's gynecologists for vaginas.
You really want to do this game?
There should be a dick doctor.
I believe there is. I don't.
We wouldn't go, let's be honest. No. You don't go to the doctor as it is.
No, but. I don't. I probably should. I don't. Yeah. Because I fucked my body up so bad with drinking. I'm afraid what they're going to tell me. It's a terrible plan. I'm going this year. I told Dev I would go this year. I'm going
2024 or like starting now until next April?
2024. Okay. Because I got to get my hips checked out. I can't walk half the like. Look,
I need a hip replacement.
I do, and I don't want one. I'm 33. I shouldn't need to get my hip replaced.
Just because you shouldn't need it.
That's ridiculous. It's like the sentence alone. And thanks, Dad, because he got them both replaced when he was 36. So it's one, hereditary, and two, exacerbated by catching for 15 years.
How's he walking?
Now? Great. Yeah. He runs. He's like, that's the thing. And hip replacements these days are so effective that you're walking the same day. There's no excuse. Of. Because I don't want to do it. I'm 33. That's embarrassing.
You need to make an HA, a hip appointment.
When I'm walking around the first few days after surgery with a fucking walker or whatever at 33, I'm going to feel like an asshole. Look,
stay home.
I understand that it will be all for the better. It's hard to make that decision.
Okay. Let me make that decision for you.
Get off my back, Dad.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's DANA, on your podcast app.
Where were we? We get to after the dick appointment. Hannah and Marciano. And this just paints the picture of what this couple's going to be. It is going to be a shit show, chateau shit show, full blown.
Because I'm already tired of them though.
This part I was tired
of. This moment, yeah.
This moment I was like, this is dumb.
This and then the other moment that is basically the same thing.
It is.
Those two things on either side, I hated both of them. I don't want to deal with them anymore.
100% agree. Because in this moment, Marciano is upset that she gave this dude a kiss on his cheek. One, this is her job. Like, they're doing the whole thing there. I know it's not her job to kiss guys on the cheek. I just mean in this moment, like, they're all at an event. She was okay with it. She kissed the guy on the cheek. It does not mean shit. You're just looking for reasons to go after her because you're an insecure little bitch.
I thought it was also kind of funny that the staff went to the winery with them. Like, doesn't
they
the winery have a staff?
With everybody.
I know, but, like, doesn't the winery have a staff? Like, what are you doing there that the winery staff can't do? Like, are you just
running
like
the events,
middleman?
I guess maybe they're just the event coordinators while they're getting
they
served.
Have to
stuff.
Set up the Jenga,
yeah, stuff like
Jenga
that.
Fell down. Can you guys go set that back up for us? We don't want to be bothered.
The vineyard can't be held culpable if Jenga falls on somebody.
Maybe
it's an insurance thing, but this is a whole entire issue because he's like, well, if the roles were reversed, would you be cool with it? There's no way you'd be cool with it. It's like,
I know for a fact. And look, he's probably right.
He is, but who gives
a fuck? But it doesn't mean, yeah, exactly.
Who cares? It's a kiss on the cheek. Grow up. But this was the funniest scene, and I hope we get these scenes in each episode. It's so overproduced. It's so uncomfortable. She's sitting down with the guy that's about to propose.
Yep.
I forget what his name is. I know Shireen.
We get one of these. We get one of these per ep, or one of these per trip.
Per
I
trip.
Say. Yeah.
And I love it's so fucking funny. Jeremy, right? Jeremy and Shireen.
Jeremy and Shireen. Yeah.
So there's a Jeffrey. Who cares?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. It is Jeremy.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So Jeremy's sitting down with LVP, and she's like, I think she wrote down this whole speech, and she's like, so what are you going to say to her? Like, let me hear it. Why don't you practice on me? And they're both whispering for I don't know why.
Just in case anybody's listening.
Okay. But then she doesn't whisper, and he's still whispering. It's uncomfortable. And he's like, what does he say? He's like, I love you.
I love you so much.
You're the perfect girl.
Yeah, like
will
very
you marry
generalized,
me?
Like, yeah.
There's no fucking way that was your proposal. There's no way.
Also, did he anticipate sitting down with LVP to tell her what he's going to say to his fiance?
No, I guarantee that production came up to him and said, hey, we're going to have this scene where you're going to go over your proposal. And now he's sitting there in front of the camera, awkward. He's
nervous.
Like, I love you.
Look, it's already nervous enough proposing to somebody.
Yeah.
You got to throw in that you have to fake propose to LVP.
Yeah.
And I love that she's on her high horse about like, you need to do this and that and whatever. What did you do when Ken proposed to you?
Nothing.
Nothing. And
what
I was
you wearing?
Nothing. It's like, okay.
But then why are you coming down on his proposal?
Yeah.
At least he's asking something.
Exactly.
I don't even understand how that works. Did Ken give you a ring or did you just
handed you a ring naked?
Did you just boink and you're like, we're engaged now?
What do you think Ken looked like naked?
Back in the day?
Back in the day, probably good. Stud. He's probably a stud, yeah.
Absolute stallion. Yeah. But moving on, we get the night in Paris. And thank God LVP points out it is not the porno. It is just...
I love that shade,
it was
though.
So funny.
A little shade towards Kathy?
Fuck yeah, 100%. Yep. That was a great dig. But dinner looks fire once again. Service goes much better this time. And they do this whole Paris bridge locks thing. But we get to the proposal, and there's like fake snow. We get a Ken sighting. I literally wrote down in my book, Ken, with a big exclamation point. And the proposal goes very well. It's a much better proposal. I love that the dude cried. I'm a softie for that. And it's like the only issue is he doesn't have a great crying voice.
Yeah.
It's such a minor thing.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to point out because you can tell he's trying to keep it together. He's like, I just wanna... But it was a very, very nice scene. She obviously says yes, because there's also no way that she didn't know that this was coming. Like, they've been dating for 4 years. They're going away for their anniversary to a chateau in southern France with all of their friends. Like, she had to, and she's also wearing a white dress.
Yep.
Like, you knew what it was, which
is
fine.
Yeah, everybody knew what was going on.
It's fine, but it was a beautiful proposal nonetheless. And the next day, we get the final toast, is what they're calling this this luncheon before they send him off. And this is the scene that you were talking about earlier, when it's the counterpart to him getting mad about the kiss on the cheek. Priscilla is just lounging. She's tired. She's probably hungover. She's kicking it on the couch, sprawled out, not in any way, shape, or form in like a sexual way. She just looks exhausted. And she's laid out on the couch. Hannah walks in because Marciano's sitting next to Priscilla. I was so confused initially.
I didn't know what the hell was
going
on.
I had no idea.
I actually rewound.
I did too.
I had no idea what was going on.
I had to recheck it. That's so funny. Because I was like, what the fuck did she just get? She
walked in. I missed something. I thought that Priscilla said something or.
I thought something happened.
Marciano's hand was like on her knee or something. Like I was looking for anything and I didn't see shit.
It was crazy. And she's like, this is bullshit. And like storms out. And Marciano's like, don't do this. What are you doing?
Han. He doesn't even call her Hannah.
Han. Just lazy. Like. Don't do what we're doing. And he goes outside to talk to her. Like this reaction's insane. And her issue is that Priscilla's legs were quote unquote spread eagle, which they weren't even. Like she was just kicked up. If you're watching the pod, she's literally like this, just kind of facing him. It wasn't sexual. She's just fucking lounging. And she has a conversation with Priscilla and she's just straight up confused. She's like, what the fuck? She's like, I just really didn't appreciate that. Yo, you guys broke up. Because he cheated on you. She's not coming on to him. She's sitting down.
And I love that Marciano, in his own way, is like, look, I've done this. This is really my fault because of how I've acted in the past. So she's going to react this way to any girl. It's like, you guys have had 6 conversations about how you're not a defined relationship.
Yeah.
Why the fuck do we care?
I don't.
And like, I get it to the extent of just absolute chaos and these people are fucking insane.
Yeah.
But I, this is another one of those times that I'm like, all right, I kind of want these two just off the show. And I know what Lisa's trying to do. She's trying to throw this in there. It's like a little wrench. I just don't give a shit. And like, I don't care. I don't want to do it. I don't want the rest of the cast to deal with it because I like the rest of the cast. It's just these two that are pissing me off.
Well, you're going to have to grin and bear it because this is going to, like, they're going to be the focal point. It's the LVP model.
What's the, I wonder what the Hulu, like, I don't know. I think Fox owns Love Island. I want to know who Hulu owns, like what show Hulu owns, because those two are going to end up on that. Whatever the Hulu equivalent of Love Island is going to be.
I don't know what Hulu's.
They'll have something rolling out, I'm sure, because they're getting into the reality TV game. I think they're going to roll something out and you're going to have Marciano and Hannah there. Oh, there is one show that it's like, it's the Island of Exes or something.
Oh, is that
Hulu? They're going to end up on that shit. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay. I can actually see that. That makes sense to me. But I love that Priscilla just throws this little dig in there at the end. She goes, are you crying? I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know that got under her. She's like, what? She's like, your eyes look a little water. Are you crying? She's like, no, thanks. And Priscilla wins that altercation. That was great. Well done, Priscilla. Yep. All you have to do is drop that in there. But we need to see the comment cards.
I know. I want to know the comment cards. I want to know, obviously, at the end of Below Deck, we get the tip, which tells you how they did. I want those two things.
Those are the two things.
I need the comment cards, and I need to see some sort of tip that gets thrown out there.
I agree.
They didn't have a tip, which, again, makes me think that they stayed there free of charge. But I want to see the comment cards at the very least.
Yeah, they should show them on the screen to see how everybody did instead of LVP.
These dudes are fucking gross.
Yeah, this guy was ripping shots and sweating all over me.
Yeah.
I would love to see them. But when she framed it the first time she picks up these comment cards, I'm like, ooh, is this a survivor situation? Because she's like, somebody could be sent home. I was like, I like this. Let's bring somebody new in each week and kick somebody out of the fucking house. Like,
that'd be fun.
That would be an interesting little tidbit.
Really hard to keep track of, but I would like that as a viewer.
At least like maybe every couple of weeks, just like boot somebody out. Like, you're gone. Bring in the next one. That would be kind of funny. But everybody's leaving and we get Telly and Andre come in to talk to LVP to recap. And they're both nervous because the comment cards have been given. And, you know, she obviously over-dramatizes it once again, makes them nervous as shit. And she tells them both, like, hey, how do you think it went? And they're both nervous. She's like, you two were the most liked of everybody here.
Yeah.
Which I also like that there's a ranking system of the staff.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
Like, here's the list of the people that were involved. Rank them.
It's like Deion Sanders ranking his children.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. But it was touching to see because obviously Telly's big insecurity is that people don't like her. So to hear this is kind of, I would imagine, a confidence booster for her moving forward, that she is a likable person. She just needs to let her guard down potentially a little bit. So she's happy. She sends her on her way. Andre comes in, and this was a very touching scene. She's like, you were the number one ranked server or staff member this weekend. So bravo, Andre. And he starts crying. And this was actually, this I believe was 1000% a genuine scene.
Yeah, I think this was genuine.
And I really appreciated it because he's crying. He's like, you know, I'm not supposed to be here. And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, just, this wasn't where my life was supposed to go. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have anybody. Like, my mom passed away. My dad's not around. So this validation, I guess, of taking this chance and going to France and doing the dance.
How long were you waiting on that one?
I just picked it up and I was going to keep going, but then I ran out.
Move on.
All right, Lance.
No, I didn't think so. It was kind of funny the way that she had two of them sit down.
Mm.
One of them leaves.
Very funny.
And then the other one comes back in. Like, you could have just had individual meetings to start off with, I guess, because they're both mixologists.
Yeah.
You have to do it together and be like, hey, the bar staff was overall the best. I feel bad for the chefs because they didn't even get to meet the chefs.
Yeah,
I guess
bullshit.
Like briefly, they're like, hey, you know, chef's out here to just tell you what's going to go on the menu and what you guys are going to eat. That was pretty much it.
That's an art form in itself.
Yeah.
To describe it.
You know, just talk about the staff in the kitchen, maybe a little bit more. But yeah, of course, the bartenders are going to be the ones that they like the most because the servers are out there being assholes.
They're yelling at each
yelling
other.
At each other and doing shots with you when you didn't ask them to do that. So yeah, they're definitely low on the totem pole.
Yeah, they did ask him to do it.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know, whatever.
I feel like they asked him to do the first round. Marciano going back out there and just grabbing one off the table was not invited.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's so dumb. But yeah, I agree.
Still need to see the comment cards.
We need to see the comment cards. But I agree with you. It was a funny setup. Like, all right, now you go outside. I'm going to talk to you. You were better.
Yeah.
You were the best one. She was two. You're one.
Yeah.
But they get their downtime. It's the night before the check-in of the following day. And my first issue, and it's funny that somebody called her out after this, because I didn't even think about the position in which Priscilla was sitting in, because who fucking, or sorry, that Gabriella was sitting in.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it because people are done a long day of work. They're just sprawled out. Who gives a fuck? But her foot was right next to the charcuterie. And I was like, that's yucky.
Yeah, no.
So I noticed that initially, but then Priscilla gets pissed off because she's like, well, she's spread eagle and you didn't say shit to her, Hannah. This should tell you that Priscilla did not understand what the fucking problem was.
Yeah.
Because she didn't get that the whole issue was the fact that she was spread eagle in front of Marciano, which again is not a problem. But she just sees people now sitting with their legs
anytime
open.
Anytime that somebody's got their legs open, it's like, what's going on over there?
What the fuck?
Come on, Hannah. You're not gonna be mad about that. Yeah, no.
No, and like, look, her reaction was a little weird, but I also understand it. Like, she's so taken aback by the whole thing earlier in the day that she does make an issue out of it. I didn't think that she was unfounded in doing that. And Hannah's like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, this is Priscilla's problem. Like, what? It's her fault. Like, this is all so weird. And like, why would she bring this up? It's because you started it. And now she's confused at the situation. And I did not love that Telly gets involved and like takes Hannah's side weirdly.
Yeah, Telly got involved and like Gabriella was also sitting there. And like, I don't like that there's people on Hannah's side.
I don't either. It didn't make any
sense. Like, Hannah is, she's a loose cannon. She's nonsensical. She's complaining about her toxic ex-boyfriend and being around him. So why is anybody on her side at all?
I don't know. And like, she
Gabriella Priscilla is just confused.
She's very confused. And I would be too. But like, she walks back into the room and looks at Priscilla. She's like, I'm mad at you. Like, okay. And then fucking Marcella, don't do this. And like,
and Eric's sitting there in his all white outfit, which I was fixated on. Like, one, who has white sweatpants?
Eric.
But like, white sweatpants and a wife beater?
Eric!
Like, Eric!
Yes. Because he's fucking Eric.
Yeah.
But Hannah goes off. She's like, she's being a bitch because she's being fake and going behind her back. She didn't go behind your back. Priscilla came right up to your face. Nobody went behind your back. She literally tried to address it to you. It's still a problem because Priscilla just doesn't understand what went wrong because she didn't do anything wrong. And now she's getting thrown under the bus because Hannah somehow weirdly has support from these other two women in the situation that they don't understand.
Yep.
They just think that Priscilla got mad. Do they know what happened earlier?
No. I don't think so. I don't think anybody. One of them was sitting there. I forget if it was Gabriella. Somebody was sitting on the other couch.
It was Emily.
Maybe it was Emily. Yeah, I think it was Emily that was sitting on the other couch.
I think there's a confession.
Emily knows what was
like,
going on. And I think Andre may have been in there too. I wasn't really paying attention to the rest of the people that were in there on
the
professional thing. It was really hard to because I was fixated on what the fuck was even going on. So there were other people that understand what's going on. I don't think that Priscilla or I don't think that Telly or Gabriella know anything about this.
I just see
Priscilla walking in yelling at Hannah about something that makes no sense to them either. And then we've just got a cycle of confusion going around.
That would make more sense. And I like that explanation better because I like both Gabriella and Telly. So I'd like to think that they're not just blindly
really the only people I don't like is just Marciano and Hannah.
See, but I love to hate watch them.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to have.
I don't really like that.
You're going to have to do what I did with Southern Charm and learning how to accept Shep. And
that works when I tell you to do it, but I don't.
Do as I say, not as I do. Is that what you're doing?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Maybe.
Eric. I'm so glad I remembered that. That's going to be a mainstay. Let's get that on the soundboard.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Carl, so nice to see you. But hey, once again, the beautiful thing about this show is that's episode 2. Light, fun, quick.
Nice and quick. You guys get to just listen to us for a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're done.
Just a little dibble dabble.
Dibble dabble.
Dibble dabble with the bros. But stay tuned. We have our next episode coming out tomorrow. We're about to record that bad boy right now. We are taking like all questions in episode 3. So if you want to hear your question, make sure you tune into the third episode. Ooh, that's how you get engagement on episode 3. Cliffhanger with questions.
Yeah, don't just skip to the third episode.
Yeah, don't do that. Well,
we're announcing it in the second one.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't make sense.
Let's give you a little nugget along the way.
Yeah.
Boop. Nuggets.
Boop.
Chicken nuggets.
Ooh, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Bros are out of here.
Hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers.
And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.